As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was good.
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season two of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We could not be more excited to talk to this guest today. To say that she is a part of our extended family would be an understatement. Kelly Rizzo is a food, travel, and lifestyle expert and the host of Eat Travel Rock TV and a podcaster of her brand new podcast, Comfort Food. She, of course, is also the wife of our beloved Bob Saget and, most of all, a dearly loved and cherished friend and sister to us. We are so happy to be able to catch up with her on the show today. Please welcome our dear friend, Kelly Rizzo.
Kelly! I can't even tell you how surreal this is to be on a How Rude Tanneritos podcast. I mean, it doesn't even seem real. If you would have told my 90s self that this would be happening, it just would not be real. So I'm so honored to be here, but
we are so happy to have you
so
here.
Happy.
I love you guys so much.
We love you too.
And you're following John Stamos. Like you're on before most of the cast too. That's how much we love and honor you. And like, you're right up next to John Stamos. So no pressure. No pressure, Kelly.
I mean, don't tell John. That's a lot of pressure. No, it's fine. You know, John, there's no pressure.
Bob would have some joke about that, about being right next to Stamos. There'd be some joke there. So, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go
there. Right, right, right. Well, Bob would make it about the fact that he wasn't first is what he would do. He would be like, well, okay, I see John was first.
Yeah.
He would be
very personally offended, and he would have several calls with you guys independently to talk about how his feelings were hurt.
Right.
Right. And making sure that he didn't do something. And if he did, that he was really sorry. But also, why did you do this?
Are you mad at me? Did I do something? Why are you mad at me? Or you're mad at me, aren't you, Jody? Or Andrea, did I do something to personally offend you?
Well, you're on Bob's microphone. So it's only fitting that we have a discussion about him.
Yes. There were lots of dirty jokes said into this microphone. So.
There's a joke there that I want to make, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Oh, but God, I just, I blame Bob for that entirely, by the way, is the fact that I'm constantly just coming up with the worst possible jokes at every moment in my life. Doctor's appointments, funerals, weddings, whatever it is, I'm always going for the joke, and I'm like, God damn it.
He start this by taking you to a comedy club when you were like way too young to be in one?
Yes. I mean, I don't know that was what started it. I always knew that he and Dave and John, but particularly he and Dave, were laughing at things that were subversive that I didn't quite get, but I knew I should. Like, I was always like, I don't know why this is funny, but I'm going to laugh, pretend like I know and figure it out later. And yes. like that, and sort of just like absorb all this comedy. But yeah, Bob did. I was going to spend the weekend with his kids after a tape night. And he was going to the Laugh Factory. He was like, all right, I didn't tell your mom this, but I'm doing a set at the Laugh Factory. So you're coming with me. And I was like, all right, cool. I think I was maybe 9. And I remember parking behind Laugh Factory there where Greenblatt's Deli was and going in and sitting on the back speaker there and flashing him his, you know, his 5-10 minute and 5 minute lights and just hanging out back at the comedy club. And
love it.
Yeah. That was I mean, it's one of the best memories that I'm truly one of the best memories I have, because it was like I just felt like included.
Yeah.
You know? Bob was always really great at making everybody feel included. So,
well, it also shows the amount of even just respect and love that he had for you at that time, knowing that you could handle that at 9 years old, you know?
That's true. I mean, I did. Yeah, I definitely, you know, I was a pretty with it little 9 year old.
He's like,
kid.
She's got the chops to handle this.
Yeah. And then and it's just been nonstop inappropriate jokes ever since. So thanks, Bob.
Kelly, I never knew how you and Bob actually met. I guess that's just because it's always felt like you've been a part of the family forever for 36 years. But until I read these notes, I didn't know that you met. He DM'd you on Instagram. Is that?
Yes.
Like, where did that come from? Tell us that story.
I remember that. Bob sliding in the DMs.
Yeah, I just started telling the real truth of it. I think he told, I mean, you know, close friends and stuff knew the real truth. And then I think he maybe told it publicly a little bit here and there. But the real story is that he saw me on a dating app, but then didn't reach out through the dating app.
Okay.
Got
it. And circumvented the app. Ooh. And then went to... Because I was living in Chicago and I was in media in Chicago. And so he knew a mutual friend that was a radio host in Chicago and said, hey, like, I guess he texted him and was like, hey, do you know this girl, Kelly Rizzo? And he's like, yeah, actually, my fiance is friends with her. You know, I know her a bit. And Bob goes, is she a bitch? Literally first thing he said. And he's like, no, she's really nice. You know, or... from what I know, she seems really nice. And Bob goes, I'm going to DM her. Will you get her a message telling her that I'm going to message her?
Right.
And so I get this message from this guy's fiance at the time. And she was like, hey, Bob Saget's going to message you on Instagram. And I
you're like, wait, what?
Literally, I go, what? Why? Like, I just wasn't, I didn't really get it. I was like, why? And they're like, oh, he wants to send you a message, you know? So I got a message from him saying, Hey, it's Bob. You know how he was always like, hey, it's Bob.
Hey, it's Bob.
By the way, it's Bob.
Right.
Yeah. He's like, I'd love to invite you to a show sometime and take you out for a bunch of burgers and lobsters, because he saw that I was, you know, a foodie.
Mm-hmm. And I remember many a lobster with Bob.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. I didn't really, you know, he wasn't really in my wheelhouse in terms of somebody I would date, because, you know, we did have an age gap. And I was just like, that's so bizarre. It just like didn't really compute, because I was like, that's Bob Saget? Like, what? I didn't really get it. And I was like, well, I'll be friends with him. He seems really fun and interesting. And so we just kind of became friends for a while. And then I came out to LA and then we hung out in person. And then at that point I was like, damn it. I was like, do I have a crush on Bob?
Aww.
Like, is this happening? And from immediately we just clicked and connected and had this really, I mean, obviously, you know that there's nobody on the planet like Bob. Mm-hmm. And he's the most unique person that ever existed. And so it was one of those things where I'm like, all right, even though we're very different in many ways, I can't pass this up because he's just too special of a guy. So,
aww. Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. So,
oh, I love hearing
once again,
that story.
Thanks to Instagram and DMs, that's how it all happened.
So great. Aww.
Right? It, both the best and the worst things can slide into your DMs. It's really, I love that story though. I just remember how excited he was. Like when you guys first started dating, I just remember him like running up to me and being like, oh my God, I mean, I don't know that he said dude, but he was like, I'm You won't believe it. Judge, you won't believe it. Like, this girl, she's so nice. She's normal. She, and I was like, well, she's dating you. So, you know, he was like, well,
I have a little weird streak. Yeah.
Right. He was like, I mean, mostly normal. Right. I was like, okay. But he would light up when he talked about you. And it just was, you know, for those of us that have known him our whole lives, or, you know, 36 years, we'd seen him go through a lot of ups and downs and challenges and, you know, sort of pick the worst possible situations for himself.
Well, that means a lot coming from you guys.
Yeah. So, like, finally seeing him so happy and with someone who just let him be him and was like, I love you anyway. It was really wonderful to see, because I think Bob always, you know, he just wanted to make everybody else happy, but he just needed somebody that let him know that, like, he was enough, and you always did that for him. So,
you were the missing puzzle piece. Yep, you completed his life. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, you also like grounded him to the earth,
because he needed that.
We all know Bob was off here, and like, you were like, come here.
Well, to have that, you know, in a sense, validation from you guys and his girls is like all that ever mattered to me, you know, because you obviously knew him best and cared about him the most. And, you know, to have that kind of stamp of approval always meant so much to me.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm sure every one of our listeners can attest that we all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And I carry around quite a few of them myself.
I know when I bottle up my problems and emotions, it can start to have a negative effect in my day-to-day life. Therapy is my safe space where I can get things off my chest and figure out how to solve the things that are weighing me down.
Seriously, therapy is an amazing tool to help you be the best version of yourself. And whether you're aiming to set new boundaries, something that is sometimes missing in our episodes, or learn positive coping skills, or learn to heal from trauma, therapy can help.
With BetterHelp, all you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/howrude today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/howrude.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, we'll boot it!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar on the business. I understand now. It is a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Jean. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Jean, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I actually have a quick little story that a Fuller House story that I'm sure your listeners would love.
Oh, yes.
That I would love. Is how I kind of first started to meet you all. I was flying from Chicago to LA for, to see Bob, but it was a Fuller House taping. And I remember it was the first one I was going to, and I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, this is, once again, very surreal, because for people who didn't know, it was almost on, the exact same soundstage as Full House, or at least
the original.
Okay. And it looked, it was the same set. And so for me
same
to go
set,
there.
Same dressing rooms.
Right. It was very, very surreal for me to go. And I was very excited. And I was on a plane on the way to LA, and you guys were in the middle of filming a Thanksgiving episode.
Oh my God.
Yes. The big giant Thanksgiving episode.
We had that huge table
and the thing. Yeah.
And you guys are sitting.
I think that was, we set the record for the most speaking roles in a scene on a sitcom in that scene.
There was like 22 people. It's 22 speaking roles in one scene.
Yeah. And it there had been that many people in a scene, but never speaking before. So anyway, his record setting, you were there.
So, well, I actually was on during this, it was the same episode, but because, you filmed it all week, but one day you guys were around this table and I was on a plane and the plane had a serious malfunction.
Yes, I remember this. I remember this. Oh my God.
During the flight. And
Bob was terrified.
They were going around saying, here's how to assume your brace positions. It was very, very scary. And I remember I was on the phone with Bob and my family, and I was saying, this is really bad. We have to make an emergency landing, and I'm terrified. And so I'm texting with him nonstop and my family nonstop. And it was borderline, this is my goodbye type of thing.
Wow.
It was love you.
I remember
just letting you know in case something happens. I love you all very much. It was like that type of thing. And Bob was telling all of you, he's like, my girlfriend's on a plane and she might crash. And she's maybe going down. And I remember he was getting an info from Dave, because Dave's a pilot.
Dave's a pilot. He was like, Dave, what's happening? Yeah. Dave was trying to calm him down.
Calming him down and was asking me questions. He was saying, Dave wants to know, is this happening? Dave wants to know, are you hearing these noises? And so I'm also in this weird state of I might die in a plane crash, but at the same time, I'm communicating with all of the Full House cast around a table while they're in the middle of filming a Thanksgiving scene.
And
then Bob was like, Candace is praying for you. And this person is saying this, and this person is saying, and I was like, what is going on? What is my life? Cause we'd only been dating a few months at the time. And I was what is going on? And I was sitting next to her. I was like, the whole Full House cast is praying for us. it was so bizarre. And then obviously we landed safely and it was fine.
Right.
But, and then the next day I was in LA and then went to the one of, the actual.
Yeah. Yeah. Meeting.
Cause it was a rehearsal. I think that you guys, it was a rehearsal.
And it was either, it was rehearsal or it was a Thursday. It was our pre-tape day. Cause I think that was the day we were shooting that. Cause it was such a monster of a scene.
Right. And so then I went to the next day and then that's when I actually met all of you.
Yes.
And got to say, I survived.
Thanks for keeping me alive.
Nice to meet you all.
Thanks for Thanks. I mean, what I remember that though, because I remember how freaked out he was,
and
I remember Dave being like, "It's a hey, look, but I got let's just and and Bob was just and we were like, okay, but that thing that you have to do when you're shooting and you're like, hey, my actual life is over here on fire and falling apart, which we've all been through. And you're like, but I have to just put that in a little fireproof container right now and go do my job.
Yeah.
But I remember.
I don't think I've ever told that story publicly. Aww. So glad I got to share with you guys again.
Wow. I had forgotten all about that. That's terrifying. So when you met us, you basically inherited the entire Full House family. Now, what was that like meeting us? Was that were you intimidated? Had you ever watched Full House before? Were you unfazed?
Yeah, I was. Like, yeah, what was I mean, that like, was it weird?
So
yeah, I have.
Was it weird?
Hell yeah, were we? I mean, we were weird.
We are weird. Yes, but was it weird for you?
I loved the show. I was, you know, I was a fan, but not like a super fan. Where I was like, right. I maybe had seen 70% of the episodes, okay. something More like that, us. All through okay. the years. Because yeah. then when you got, you know, because when I got in high school was kind of the latter years where, you know, my sisters were very, very into it because they were a couple years younger. Okay. But at that point, I was like, I'm only going to watch Beavis and Butthead.
Right.
You know?
I'm Daria now.
But I still always, you know, had known the show and really enjoyed the show even from when I was, you know, preteen to teenager. And then, because Jody, I'm like right between.
Yeah, you're like right between me and Candace.
And
yeah.
Candace, right, yeah. And so I always loved the show, but, you know, then again, let's say after when the show ended, like I didn't, let's say, follow Bob's career
that
much.
Right, you were like, really, oh, like, I know who these people are, but it's not like you were like, right. oh my God, the cast of Flood. Right, you're like, oh, all right.
Right. And then I remember, you know, meeting Bob, and then he starts telling all these stories and starts talking about you all. And I was like, oh my God, like, it's so interesting how they're really, truly a family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember he would show me group texts of you guys and he's like, look, Full House is real. Full House is real. House, like he would always text, say that.
Yeah. That Bob and I usually would keep a joke running until it was long dead. And it was like, everyone else has moved on, but Bob and I were like, no, we're going to keep this going.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he would, you know, he would, I'm sure, gladly oblige.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But so from day one, he was always just spoke so highly of you all and, you know, loved you so much that I knew it was going to be a very cozy situation to go into. I mean, it was a little intimidating because you guys had known him so long. And I'm sure, right. you know, he was like, you know, they'd seen some girlfriends come and go and they're a little protective of
Tell me about
kind
it.
Of the vibe
yeah,
that I was getting. But from the first moment, you were all so welcoming and because so much time had passed between, you know, the first show right. and then Fuller House, especially like when I was with Bob, like I didn't see him like, because he also looked so different and he sounded
right,
different
right.
so many years have passed. Like I didn't correlate him like that, you know, my husband was
right.
Danny Tanner. Like to me, it was like two separate people.
Yes.
Almost.
Right. Right.
I mean, and same kind of goes with everybody, like every, like so much time had passed. But from the first moment, you were all so welcoming. And I remember that first time meeting you all, you just literally gave me the biggest hug and welcomed me with open arms. And I think maybe saw right away that it was, you know, maybe I was around here to stay and wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah. We could just tell by the way that Bob talked about you and by like just the ease that you guys were together, it was like, oh, okay, this one's different. This, you know, and I get it. Like the intro, introducing any significant other to the Full House family is always, I think, the more intimidating family to introduce people to. Like there's like my parents and my family, but then it's like, okay, now you have to meet the other family and they're crazy. And, and they've known me forever. And like, and also knowing like, these people have my best interest at heart. They don't, you know what I mean? And they would tell me many times, you know, we like this one. We don't love this one, but we love you. So figure it out, you know?
Well, you all were very just warm and welcoming from moment one. So I'm always very appreciative of that because I didn't have to, you know, like prove myself or be like, no, I, you know, like right away you were just very accepting. Yeah. So.
Well, we loved seeing Bob so happy.
Yeah.
He was so happy. And I think also, you know, we've all got to grow up in different ways, I think, on the show, them included. You know, the guys that Bob and Dave and John started out as, these young guys, and watching them grow up and finally become like these best versions of themselves. That was huge. And I really saw that with Bob. Like I felt like finally was settled into his own skin. And a big piece of that was with you, you know? So it was, it was nice to finally see him a little more settled and like grounded. Like I said, you were a very big grounding force for him. So I was always happy to see that.
Aww. Thank you guys.
But I mean,
once again, it's everything coming from you.
But it's funny talking about you know, the same set and the same dressing rooms and stuff, like being in those again with Bob and Dave and John, and like Candace being in Bob's old dressing room and me being it, like, it was such a really cool full circle moment, all of that. And I'm so grateful that like you got to be a part of that and that you were included in that, in that time that was so special for all of us.
So cool. Mm. Yeah, it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Very
important. I think Bob enjoyed that. I think he enjoyed it more than he even thought he was going to, the whole Fuller House experience.
Oh, 1,000%. I think part of him was a little resistant, or he was pretending to be resistant.
For sure.
But then he was so, he'd get really excited. He's like, wait, I get to go work with my family again after all this time? So yeah, he was really excited.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, we'll boot it!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and last hour on the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you guys, did he get recognized out in public when you were together? And was that weird? Because everybody sees him as Danny Tanner. You know, he's tall. You can't miss him when you're out in public. Do you have any like funny stories of him being recognized, or how would he handle that when he was recognized in public with you?
He got recognized constantly because, as I like to say, I'm like, he was not incognito. I'm like, when he walked by, you're like, oh, that's Bob Saget, right? He was very Bob Saget-y. And, you know, he did wear sunglasses a lot, but it's not like he walked around always with like a hat.
He's very tall, and
sticks out like a sore thumb, very much so. He got recognized all the time, and he was never once in the 6 years that we were together, never once did he shun somebody away or say he was too busy. Because you know how it is now, everyone wants a selfie. And he was like the selfie king. So he would always, he'd be like,
he wants to take the angle.
Let me hit it.
You couldn't take a selfie with Bob unless he took it or unless you spent 15 minutes finding the right lighting and the right angle.
Or editing it, right. So, but he would always take the person's phone.
Right.
And he'd be like, I got it. And then he would take the picture from his high angle.
From his, I learned that. Here, you look great.
Very, very skinny.
Yeah.
So he would always take the selfie, and then he'd, you know, say, they'd always say like, oh, you helped raise me, or like, a lot of times he'd get people come up, I'm sure you guys get this too, but you know, people crying, and he would say, or they would say like, I didn't have a dad and you were like my dad and you helped raise me. And you know, he'd get that a lot, and he would always be like, oh, thank you. And so he was always very gracious, and never once in 6 years, I don't care if it was at one of his, you know, when he was doing stand up at like backstage at one of his shows, or never once did he turn away a fan for a photo or an autograph or just to chat. And he was always so welcoming of it and, you know, gracious. And he really got to appreciate towards the end, you know, because anything I'm telling you guys, you know more than I do because you knew him for 30 plus years. But, you know, he was very resistant of the Danny Tanner image for a long time, which is, you know,
I think we all this again, you know.
Right. So that's, you know, when that's why so many people, when they see his comedy, they're like, I can't believe like he's so different than I expected. It's like, oh yeah, well, that's who he really was.
It's always been who he was. Right.
Right. So, but really the last few years, he really started to embrace it again and got really appreciative of his time as Danny Tanner, you know, the original version and then the Fuller House version.
Yeah.
And even that's why he would make TikTok videos, kind of spoofing Danny and make, you know, funny TikTok videos. He loved the talk. And he just really, he really started to embrace it the last few years and just accepted. He's like, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw that too. And I think it all came with that, like, we all kind of settled into, I think, after Fuller House, and like we all sort of not came to terms with, but like realized that what we created was far more special and important than just the words that were on the page of a Full House script.
Right.
You know, that like it was what we saw as, you know, maybe a, you know, silly, funny family sitcom, but that doesn't mean that what we created out of that wasn't like hugely important. And I remember, you know, Bob and John and kind of all of us being like, oh, I don't want to be that person forever. But like coming back with Fuller and seeing just how much people loved it and seeing how much people loved seeing these characters become whoever they had become, and they still loved it. Like it was really, really cool. And I think we all like settled in a little bit in our Fuller years to like the comfort of the Tanner family and not trying to not be those people, but realizing that like actually those people were pretty awesome and kind of important.
And when you realize that you can't just write that chemistry on a page and you can't just recreate it ever,
no.
It will never exist ever again because you guys were just so special together and so brilliant together. And just the chemistry, it was like, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It was just such a special thing that, you know, will live on forever. I mean, that's, you know, Bob always joked. He's like, you know, he's like, Full House just won't go away. It just won't go away.
Yeah, it's true. It won't. It will never go away. And you know, one thing I always hear about Bob too is whenever I'm doing like a radio interview or any press or any sort of thing, everyone always brings up how incredibly kind Bob was, like, and you know, oh my gosh, but like I did an interview with him and he offered me tickets to his show, or like he remembered me, or he, you know, like it, Bob just always really took time with people and like that's such an important legacy of who he was that like he really made people feel so important when he was with them.
Yeah.
While also telling you that he was very busy.
You're very important. Yeah, like, I'm important too.
And that you're important. I'm important too. And I'm very busy and important.
Literally, he'd be like, I'd be like, you called me. Like, why?
That's That's the story we always tell. Right. He's like, call you and be like, hey, I'm busy. I can't talk. And you're like, I'm just answering the phone, sir. Right. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, man.
So speaking of his like stand up and stuff, did you like, were you at all of his stand up shows? Was it something where like he would go do stand up and you were like, cool, have fun? Like, I know, you know, some because the comedy world is can be draining and it's a lot, you know. What was your experience?
Do you remember seeing his stand up routine for the first time and were you horrified?
No, I had seen, you know, maybe some clips here and there over the years. And I remember being like, oh yeah, I think I heard that he was kind of dirty and a little different. Like I had seen some clips. And so it wasn't a total shock. But then his whole thing, he's like, I'm not that dirty. He's like, compared to other people, I'm not. He goes, you know, his was more of like poop humor type stuff, you know, like he's
the,
like, I'm
the
like,
bathroom, him and Dave in the bathroom humor. Good Lord.
Right. He's like, I'm saying things.
Never matured past 10-year-old boys.
Right. He's like, I'm saying the things that I was told I couldn't say as a teenager. That was it.
Basically.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was really his thing. He's like, I'm really not that dirty. He's like, compare me to a lot of other people. He's like, I'm not talking about, you know, this and this and this and this.
Right.
So I remember I would go to the shows that sounds kind of bad, but like that were in really cool cities. You know, it's like
that
if he was.
No, that doesn't sound bad. That sounds like a totally normal. Yeah.
Or somewhere that maybe I hadn't been before. It's, you know, or like he was going to Nashville. Like I love Nashville, is one of my favorite cities.
Right.
And so then I would go to Nashville.
I mean, you travel a lot. It's not like you needed to be going everywhere because you'd never been to a place. So.
Right. So if he was, you know, going, if he was performing, you know, somewhere cool that let's say I hadn't been, if it was like Seattle or if it was Miami or obviously if he was ever in Chicago, then I would go and like I would bring in all my troops as well. And, you know, New York, Nashville, you know, wherever it was, I would pick and choose. And then sometimes I would go to some more offbeat locations if it let's say it was part of a tour and I would go on, you know, doing like three cities. I'd be like, okay, let's do like Huntsville, Nashville and St. Louis or something like that. You know, I would go to maybe one out of every four locations or something like that with him. So, and then sometimes, you know, he would do four shows in a weekend. And so maybe I would go to one or two of them. I wouldn't go to all four. And then sometimes you'd be like, oh, you're not coming tonight. I'm like, honey, I just went to three of the other shows. Like I can't go to all of them. And, I'm like, you know, it's,
right, you're like, you're fine.
I'm not the one getting paid. Like, you
know, like I got things to do.
Right, yeah, you're like,
I'm gonna sit in the hotel and order room service. You know, right? I'm like,
but the third time's not as funny.
Right,
as
like I'll go walk around.
Yeah.
And so I went to a lot of them, and it was just so cool getting to see and really become a part of, you know, by association, the comedy world, and really even just how being backstage worked and being in the green room and him talking always to the managers and to the people who ran the show and. You know, him ordering his, you know, turkey wrap or buffalo or, you know, chicken wings before a show or something like that. And his process and how he prepared. And it was so interesting to me. And he was just such a pro at it. And the way he would even direct his own sound checks and things like that. And you know, he was just such a pro and liked things a certain way. And but he was just so beloved, even all the GMs of the venues and all the people, like everyone loved him and he knew all their names and he knew all that from, you know, he's like, oh, this is Tiffany and this is Jim. And, you know, like he knew everybody and everybody loved him and, you know, he'd been doing it for 40 years. And so he was just, or more.
Yeah.
He was just such a pro. And it was just so interesting to like watch him work in that world.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And there is so much more that we want to talk to Kelly Rizzo about. So make sure to come back next week for part two, where we're going to talk more about her incredible strength, her stories about the man who helped shape our sense of humor for good and bad, Bob Saget, and her experiences on Special Forces and all of it. So we will see you then for next week's episode of How Rude, Tanneritos with Kelly Rizzo. And if you guys want to follow us on Instagram, you can follow us at How Rude Podcast, or you can send us an email at howrudepodcast@gmail.com. And remember, you guys, the house is... The world is small, but the house is full.
You did it. Yep, that was the quickest one yet, I think.
I mean, I just closed my eyes and went... This
show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.